Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that death is the end? Or is it just a new beginning? Does our soul continue to evolve? Or is it buried 6 feet under? Spiritual encounters and unexplained phenomena have intrigued people for centuries. But what if you could find the answer? Right here,
right here,
right now.
Right now.
Welcome to Heavenly Encounters.
Heavenly Encounters.
Where we will talk with everyday people who have had extraordinary experiences and gifted souls that see beyond the veil.
Beyond the veil.
Together, we'll diminish our fear of death, explore our soul's evolution, and soften the crippling grief that accompanies loss.
Heavenly Encounters.
You, our listeners, will discover a new world.
A new world.
A fresh reality.
A fresh reality.
Just a whisper away.
Heavenly Encounters.
So take a deep breath and join us on this fascinating adventure. This is Heavenly Encounters.
Heavenly.
A journey to the other side.
Heavenly Encounters.
Welcome to Heavenly Encounters, a journey to the other side. I am your host, Mary Elizabeth, broadcasting from Chicago, Illinois.
And I am your co-host, Janice, broadcasting live from St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, welcome back, and thank you everyone for listening. So far, our most popular show we have had has really been about our encounters with spirit guides. So today we are the first going to take you on this amazing journey to the golden age of Egypt, where Janice worked alongside her guide, Senmet. We'll then teach you how to connect with your spirit guides and how to work together with them on a daily basis. So I cannot even imagine, Janice, having the relationship that you do. It's almost like having a person standing right beside you and working with you from the other side.
It really I don't know that everybody has that experience, but it's been my experience, and it's been a beautiful experience, and it's, I wouldn't give anything.
Wonderful.
Not for
anything. Well, first, a quick reminder, we are on Twitter at Heavenly Radio 1, and that is the number 1, so follow me, and I will follow you back. Also, please keep the emails coming and tell us about your own Heavenly Encounters at heavenlyencountersradio@gmail.com. I know many of you do not want to be on the air. We would love to have you, but we are also going to start a segment where we will read your amazing encounters. So, Janice, let me introduce you. Janice Yakupovic has Janice Yakupovic has been a vibrational healer for over 40 years. She utilizes crystals and essential oils within her unique mode of ancient Egyptian energy grid healing. Janice has brought back temple recipes that were used in Egypt over 6,000 years ago with the help of her spirit guide, Senmet. They worked together side by side during the golden age of Egypt and continue to do so today. So let's start from the beginning. How long have you been even aware of the spiritual world?
Probably since I was a very, very small child. I would have some of these things that would happen that you couldn't explain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I think that probably happens to most children. You know what I mean? Because that door is open. But I would go out into the middle of dirt and find a rose, you know, a beautiful red rose, you know. And I had been thinking about getting a red rose and little manifestations like that, which I didn't understand at the time was the way of spirit saying you are loved and you are never alone. And
wow.
I never understood it. And then when I had been sick as a child from about 7, and then when I was coming out of college, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And I don't know if people know what Crohn's disease is, but it's an autoimmune disease where your body attacks itself. And so I got down to about 60 or 70 pounds because when you die, you don't die from Crohn's disease. You actually die from malnutrition. It's not what you eat, but what your body absorbs.
Right.
So they gave me 6 months to live, and I was raised Roman Catholic. So I wasn't afraid of dying. I just wanted to know what was true and what wasn't true, you know. Did you really have to wait to the end of the world, you know, to be judged, or did you get judged beforehand? And if you really had to wait until the end of the world, where did you spend your time, you know? And I remember my mom had a priest come in, and the priest laughed at me and said, you know, I could tell you, but it will take all the fun out of it. And dying is many, many
things. And we all know that dying is supposed to be fun.
It is fun, yes. That's the one adjective I would never use to describe dying.
I don't think so either.
No, but what I realized, which was very, very important, was that he didn't know the answer. So that got me on my path on reading about death. And then I would read a book and I would go back to the bibliography. And then I found things like reincarnation, things that were never part of, you know, the Catholic Church. But at least they answered a question. What happens, you know, well, if the Catholic Church didn't have an answer, somebody else did. And that's really what took me on my journey. And in the beginning, I was really kind of afraid until I was in the hospital one time and I had really the first, like, conscious out-of-body experience. It's like just somebody just pulled you out of the top of your head, you know, your crown chakra. Mm-hmm. And once I got out of my body, you know, it's like you could see how much more there was to know, how much there was in the universe, you know. And then when you got plopped back down, you went to being back to that little Janice with that little 20/20 vision, you know.
Right. Now, when you went out of body, where did you go?
It was just like popping up long enough to be able to see. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm just pulling you up. To allow you to see that there was so much there that you couldn't see that was there. Kind of, it goes kind of like what the Bible talks about, things that are visible and invisible. I think I somebody pulled me out and I got a really good upfront look at the invisible. And so I wasn't afraid of that anymore, whereas before there was, Catholicism is really good at manipulating fear. And so after that, I started reading books and stuff like that. And finally, started doing meditation work, which is one of the best things that you can do. Started journaling, you know. I would ask a question, and I would get an answer, and I would always, you call that scribing rather than channeling. I was never a great, you know, fan of the word channeling.
Well,
and
now when you were first scribing, though, did you actually know who was coming through, or did you just feel like it was just some, you know, higher light being from the other side?
Well, I could always hear a voice that would answer my question, but at that time I didn't know who it was. And then when I started getting a little bit better that I could start venturing out of my house and that, a friend of mine had picked up some beads from Egypt. And they look like the faience beads, the little glass beads that they used to use. And I brought Egypt back with me in this lifetime. There's just no two ways about this. Even as a child, I would go into the bathroom and lock myself in the bathroom with a pencil and try to put eye makeup on, you know. So there was no part. I mean, I can remember looking at my parents and not knowing who they were. Who in the hell are these two people living with me? I mean, I was so disconnected from this family unit that I had here. And what I could remember of Egypt was not great lifetimes or anything, but the fact that I was loved and I was wanted and I was happy. And that satisfied all my childhood requirements. And so I never really, people would say, well, who were you in a past life? And it really didn't make a difference because I was loved and I was happy.
Well, don't you think, though, in this lifetime, real quick, that when you have, let's say, you come in, let's say you're a musical prodigy or you've got a, you know, you started talking at such a young age, there's something that you bring with you from another life, or if you happen to be obsessed with science fiction or like you were obsessed with everything that's Egyptian, isn't that kind of a telltale sign that you probably had a past life in that civilization at one point of time?
Oh, I think so. I absolutely do believe so, and that's based upon not only my life, but in because I one of the things with being sick is it allowed me to become a voracious reader. And there were so many children that were born that were probably born too fast, or they came back with so much information that they were like me, that they looked at their parents and they didn't know who they were. But unfortunately, they took it, you know, a step further and said, why did you take me from my parents? You know, I don't like you, you know, and
right.
it wasn't a very positive thing for them. I think I, at the time I was just too naive, you know, to ask those questions. And then my friend, like I said, and I said, oh, my God, just let me put these necklaces together for you. And as I was stringing these beads for him to sell, I heard a voice, the same voice say, you are stringing beads, but I'm going to teach you how to create focal points of light.
Wow.
And
well, now is that Senmit?
Right. It was Senmit. And rather than hearing it inside my head like I always did, like a conversation, it was audibly loud that I could actually hear it in the room. And
oh my
so
gosh.
Then I tried to trip it up, you know, who are you? And I would hear Senmit, and I would say King Tut, you know, and I would ask questions and everything like that. And it took me about 2 months of doing the scribing work and asking questions, and then I would go and look it up, the answers I would get in three sources. And then after a while, I started to realize that this was basically the other half of my soul. And that was the twin soul. So from that time on, and that we were healers in Egypt many, many years ago. We were married. And what we did was we worked at a temple that they refer to now as Memphis. But it was way before pre-dynastic Egypt in that golden age.
So it was
age.
What, six? It was 6,000 years ago, is that
it
correct?
Was, yeah, it, yeah. If you were looking at it, yeah, 6 to 10,000 B.C., when they talk about the pyramid being that old, it is actually that old. And Memphis, or what it was called in ancient Egypt, Menifer, was the white city. They talked about the white city. It was made completely out of white limestone. So wherever you were at, when the sun would hit it, you would just see these beams of light everywhere. It was an extraordinarily beautiful, but it was somewhat like the Mayo Clinic, because when they talk about Imhotep was actually a great healer outside of all the really neat mummy movies that you like to watch. He was really...
yeah, that's all I watch.
I was going to say, he was really, really a great healer. He came up with recipes, with remedies. I mean, the books and scrolls that he wrote, they used up until about 50 years ago when computers started to come in. When I was a child and had an ear, nose, and throat doctor, they had read the discourse, because the discourse that the Egyptians wrote on ears, nose, and throat, nobody had ever surpassed it. So they would go to school, you know, in the 20th century, and they would learn about ears, nose, and throat through all the people that combined all that information
right.
in ancient Egypt.
Right.
And so he went around and set up clinics, something like the Mayo Clinic, and then he would tour and travel, and he would have people come to him. He was an extraordinarily great man. If you could think of a male Mother Teresa, only about...
In Egypt.
Yes, in ancient Egypt, with about 10,000 more times of light, and he
right.
never charged, but one of the things that he did was we made the healing, and we did it. In a way that we utilized lunar oils, there were cosmic oils, there were solar oils, there were alchemaic oils. We combined stones and herbs, and we combined, whatever you could think of to make oils.
When did you finally realize that you saw yourself, you know, next to him actually making these oils? And I think it was for, like, the priests and priestesses and, you know, the pharaoh at the time.
Well, you know, I saw it much later, because I would have friends that would say, I see you standing next to a man, and you're standing next to, you know, you're all in Egyptian garb, And you're at this white table, and this, like, table has light emitting from the inside, you know, almost like this light was emitting from the inside. And they all described the same thing. And finally, in meditation, I was able to see that. And we were standing in front of a huge, gigantic limestone table that just had oils and plants and everything on it, and that was our job, was to go ahead, and as these people came in, you know, we took care of them, and when we made the oils for them to treat them while they were there, and so that they could take, you know, take them home like recipes, like medicine that they would have today, so that they could get better. And we were very, very good. And if you go back and look at a lot of the ancient healing, even outside of Egypt, like in India or in China, in some of the great civilizations, oil was the basis of most of their religions. Whether it was an essential oil or it was a coconut oil or an almond oil, you know, oil was the basis.
Right.
Was the
basis. That was their pharmaceuticals back then. They did not use, I mean, they really, how a veterinarian treats a dog or a cat or a horse is really how, you know, ancient civilizations treated, you know, their people, not with what we
right.
do today.
And then myrrh,
so at
you
what
know,
point, as I say, at what point did you actually, were you actually able to see him come in and actually start having, like, conversations with him?
Well, that was the point where he had said, you are stringing beads, now I'm going to show you how to create focal points of light. And then he stood forward. And from that time, it was always, I could constantly hear him. It's like having a dialogue in your head all the time, like you're always speaking to him. And I could see him. And from that moment on, I must have been in my late 30s or something like that. It's gotten better. It's gotten closer. And it's just never going away. And I must have 22 volumes of information that I have written down on recipes, yeah, on the healing grid system, on everything. Because, I mean, I used to get up in the beginning, and I used to channel, well, or I should say scribe, ask questions. And I would literally sometimes do it for 6 hours straight.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was just, wow. I was so blessed. And then getting the first, I called it Senmut's oil after him. It was like, take these ingredients, put them together, and walk away. And I had this blob. And I'm like, well, don't I stir it? Don't I mix it up? Don't I walk away? And I just walked away and didn't really pay attention to it till about 2 weeks later. And what I found was I didn't even have to stir it, because once you put it together and you created the energetic patterns and, you know, you used your stones and the grid that you were supposed to form, you didn't have to stir anything. It integrated on its own. And as it integrated, it turned into what it was supposed to be, a lunar oil or a solar oil.
Wow. And now, were you working with oils and crystals prior to really having recognition of Senmut? Is that something that you always felt pulled to? Or is it something once he kind of came in and really started talking with you, you realized, you know, maybe your role was to bring these temple oils back to this century?
Well, I was probably more interested in crystals per se. But,
okay.
You know, I mean, once that came in and he became the great teacher that he was, you know, to me, because what he helped me do was to remember all of the teachings that we knew. And then, of course, then it takes a whole, then it's not just a beautiful quartz crystal anymore. Then it has this whole variety of healing powers. And you can pick it up and
right.
you can feel it, you know, whether it's the right crystal or the wrong crystal, you know. Then it just becomes like being pulled out of body, you know what I mean? You're not
right,
limited
right.
anymore. You're just open to all of these wonderful invisible things that you can't see, that
right.
now you have the ability to utilize in the healing work that you do.
So do you work, like, kind of with him day by day, or is there a goal that you both are working toward, you know, in this lifetime that you're here?
Well, everybody has, I think, that dream of having a healing place. And then I finally just got to the point is I love doing the oils. And the oils have progressed as I've grown too. They started out as lunar, then they went to the solar oils and the cosmic oils, and now I'm in classes both here and reading and then also, you know, out of body studying alchemy. And so every time he gives me a new oil, it is much more powerful, much more intricate, and it goes much more deeper. And it really kind of doesn't work on a vibrational level anymore as much as it uses the cosmic frequencies that are coming in now. Because as we're moving into this golden age, the last golden age we actually had on Earth was in Egypt all of those years ago. So a lot of this energy coming in, it's so familiar to me because I lived through it, and it's Egyptian. But I can understand how it does scare some people, because it's like if it was coming in and it was Greek or it was Mayan, I wouldn't understand it.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I do work with my guides, not anywhere near where you do. I mean, I can sit there and I can have a conversation. I can see him in my third eye, but I mean, it's almost like I said, he is walking by your side and you're working with him on a constant basis. I mean, what does it feel like to kind of have that partner in crime from the spiritual world?
It's more like not a partner in crime, but it's like being married. You know what I mean? But you can walk, you know, you can walk down the hall and you know, and you know he's walking right there. And like I said, it's a constant conversation in your head. And it's just, it's wonderful. I don't know that I could put it into words what it is like to have that kind of relationship with somebody on the other side. And then to find out that, you know, in actuality, that's your twin soul. And I can remember reading so long ago that most twin souls, one will stay on the other side. So I did not know he was my twin soul forever. I think he took it very, very, because I was very, very, very critical, you know.
Right.
Who are you really, you know? And there's that saying that there are two kinds of people that talk, you know, that hear voices, you know.
Right.
People that channel are people that are schizophrenic, you know what I mean?
Right,
and
right.
So you always wanted, but I was always interested in making sure that the information that I was getting in was truthful, because you're making an oil and giving it to somebody for them to use for their health. And I have to say I have been very, very blessed in the people that I have helped and the people that have come to me and that I've learned from.
Well, let's go back to one thing you just said about the twin flame or the twin soul. I think they're both, they're, you know, called both. And I think your average person out there, they meet someone and they think, oh, my gosh, this is my soulmate. But I believe that the difference being is that a soulmate is actually can be a man, woman, child, dog, cat. It's somebody that you are part of your soul group that you decide to incarnate with and have a soul contract with, which twin flame is different. Can you explain that?
Well, when we were created according to Senmut, we were created in soul groups. And so a soulmate is anybody that can come into your life, and they can be your partner, and you can be married for 50 years. They can come into your life for 6 months and literally change your life. But
they can bump into you on the street.
Exactly. But it's somebody that comes into your life, and you have a mutual love and affection for each other, and you work together towards some goal. They're there to help you over a hump, or you walk into their life to help them over a hump. Whereas a twin soul, you have one twin soul. And that soul in the beginning, when God made it man and woman, it was like cutting it in half. So there is only one twin soul. So, and then the whole idea of that spiritual path, and then especially when you look at it through alchemy or astrology or something like that, and the two shall become one, the whole idea is to get together again, to find each other, to join again, and to become one. And once you become one, it's like you become that golden light, and you are one with God, you are one with the universe.
So So it's kind of like, you know, the ancient, I think it's what, Chinese symbol for yin and yang, isn't it?
Right. Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
Really what they're trying to, yeah, that's really what that is. Well, very nice. I know I can never really expect to work that way with a spirit guide, and I'm sure most people probably won't, but there's still so many benefits to really working with your guide. So let's kind of switch gears for a minute and talk about how our listeners can really contact and connect and work along with their spirit guides. So first, you know, for most people, what would you say is the primary benefit to working with their guides?
Oh, well, my gosh. I mean, well, first of all, let me say that everybody has a spirit guide. And whether or not you are consciously aware that they are talking to you, that they are talking to you all of the time. And the benefit is to go from that kind of, like, I always used to say when I was a kid, I had that inner voice that I listened to, you know,
right.
Or we'll call it a consciousness, or you're driving down the street and something says turn right and you listen and you turn right.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing, only what happens is it takes on a form that you can actually see it. You know, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's just a being of light. There are sometimes that people never see faces. They just see beings of light. And so you go on and you have an individual interaction with one of God's creatures that is there with you every single step of the way that teaches you. That's their job. And you have
right.
to remember all of the time is to ask. You have to always constantly ask. Because that's
okay.
what they're waiting for. They're waiting
right.
for you to ask so they can teach you and guide you.
Okay, so as far as the number of guides, from what I understand and what I've been told, is that, I mean, you have one guide that is probably with you on a constant basis from the moment that you're born until the moment that the etheric cord is cut and you cross over. Aren't there others, guides that come in and out with you depending upon what your goals are in your life, when they are needed, if there's like a specialty, if you happen to be, let's say, a musician and you have a guide that actually is working with you on your music?
Absolutely.
So don't we have more than a one or two possibly?
Absolutely. There is no limitation to the amount of information that a guide could bring in. A guide could come in and have one thing to say to you. He could spend 5 years teaching you something. He could be with you the rest of your life. There is no limitations. Because understand, this is school, and look at them as teachers. And so, no, we're not limited
right.
to one teacher. And then when you
right.
graduate and you go up from that little naive Janice, and then the next thing you know, you're being asked to study alchemy or some of these more esoteric things. You need teachers that can bridge that gap, too, but there are absolutely
right.
none. And what a lot of people do, because I do it in the healing work that I do, we all have guides. It's a matter of whether or not you are conscious of them.
Correct.
And so a lot of times people will find them in healing work. I've done that where I've brought guides in and the
mm-hmm.
people have gotten up and they've known their names. Some people go to other readers to find out because they know, I know somebody's standing behind me and somebody's talking to me. I can see it, but
right.
I can't hear it, you know. So there are just a myriad of ways that you can make a connection.
Right.
But
well, that's what I did. I mean, I went to several mediums over the course of my life. And, you know, there were a lot of really interesting angles. I'd go to one that here's this person, Michael. He's this Italian dude that is with me every single day. I would, you know, a couple years down the road, I may have gone to someone else, and they tell me that I have a close alliance with an ascended master, which for me it's Joseph, you know, the father of Jesus.
Right.
And so, don't we also have, again, we have other alliances with ascended masters, with archangels as well? Kind of like you said, it's, you know, you have a professor, you have all these teaching assistants, you may have different levels that we all kind of relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, we have the ability and the opportunity and the gift to call upon whoever we wish to talk to. If
right.
you're having a problem with something and you call on Jesus's father, or you call on Jesus, or you call on Kuan
mm-hmm.
Yin, or you call on Ganesh, we have the ability. And that, to me, was the most freeing, because in Catholicism, you needed an intercessor. We were not good enough to talk directly to God.
Right.
And that is one of the most horrible fallacies. We can ask for, you know, to be protected by St. Michael, to be taught humility by Sister Mother Teresa. There is no limit to what we can ask for in asking
right.
for guides and teachers.
So when it comes to our guides, I mean, is this actually part of kind of our pre-soul agreement, which, you know, if you listen to other shows, we've talked about this, where you actually decide, okay, this is going to be my mom, my dad, my brother. This person is going to teach me this lesson when I'm 24. Do we actually pick out those guides that are going to be with us, like, on a daily basis and through those really important junctures in our life prior to actually incarnation?
Absolutely we do. And in my case, where mine was kind of a little different, was because being sick, I was alone so much.
Right.
And so I had this ability to put the time in. There's not a lot of people that are married with three kids that can scribe for 6 or 8 hours a day.
Right.
So
well, you also were sick, I mean, for 20 years. I mean,
for 20
kind of bedridden.
Years.
Right.
About,
then you read
for 5 months.
Had the time.
I was in, right. Yeah. And so, as you know, that was the only upside of it, was the fact is that I had the time to put into it. But even whether you've got that kind of time or not, absolutely. And every step of the way, especially now as we're changing, you know, we've gone from vibration to frequency. So
right.
we got new guides to help us do that. We've got guides for our bodies, for our souls, for our spirits, for the changes that are coming in. And how many of us now talk about we're waiting for to step into our new life?
Right.
That new life and that
goal. We need help to do that.
Exactly. Exactly. And since, you know, because I've lived through it, but I don't remember it, and most people weren't on Earth
right.
when we had that last golden age, because so much of the Earth was destroyed. And so we need all, you know, we will need all of these new guides to get us where we go.
Right.
I mean, you know, we'll have new jobs, we'll have new lives. God only knows how everything changes. It all
right.
gets better. But we will need all of the help that we can get to get there and to do the best
right.
that we can do.
Well, then also as part of, you know, being a guide, is that something that, like with Senmet, he obviously had incarnations on Earth. Is it someone that you've maybe worked with in the past whatever role that might be? Is it someone, I mean, do we know them? Are they in our soul group? Are they special beings that are someone that's what they do? They are spirit guides and they don't incarnate. I mean, are they deceased relatives? I mean, who are they? Where do they come from? And how, you know, I know we go through our pre-soul agreement, but how do they even become, you know, how are they in our consciousness to be able to say, hey, I want you to be my guide this time around?
Well, and they can be anything. Senmet and I were married and both of us are healers. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, our soul group is a healer group. So probably most all of my incarnations in one way or another, I was a healer, whether I was living
right.
out, you know, just digging up roots or something like that. But we were healers. Some people are teachers. You know, some people are leaders. Some people work for, you know, for causes, for just causes,
right.
advancing, you know. And it just really, it depends. And it also depends, too. Twin souls, I think, are pure in the fact that they are spiritually given to you with no ties that are attached.
Okay.
But you can have other guides, too, that you have karma with.
Okay.
And that is a way that you can work out your karma. One can be on the other side to see the fallacy of what you believed or what you did wrong to help you get past that so that you don't make that same mistake twice. And so, in this lifetime, we have the time as we experience it. And so it can also be for karma, but it's always for our good, and they're always lessons. And that's one
right.
of the things that I stress when I say karma. There is no bad karma. We may not like to go through it, but God does not punish you. God does
right.
not say you were a bad person here, and now, my God, you're going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life.
Right.
If it isn't if it isn't truth, it's not God. And if it's not love, it's not God.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with karma. Karma is simply a lesson that we do. And karma sometimes is a gift we give to God. If you look at a lot of the saints, when Mother Mary comes down and asks them, would you help my children, you know, people will get sick for 5 years. And it comes out of nowhere. They get violently sick for 5 years, and in 5 years it's over. The Mother Mary thanks them for being that, and I'll never understand why there is suffering that is somehow, you know, but that suffering is it's not the same as being punished.
Right. Well, it also goes back to that pre-soul agreement where you might want to learn the lessons that you need to learn on a much quicker basis. So you determine, let's say, like in your life, that you were sick for all those years, and it also would help you and enable you to get all the knowledge you needed from all the books and also to start working with Senmet. So you might decide, you know, as horrifying as it may seem, that at 45, I'm going to get cancer, and these are the lessons I would like to learn from it and to further evolve my soul. Not as
right.
a punishment, but as a way to learn some lessons.
Right.
And as well
and
as
one
other
of my
people
favorite,
around you, too.
Yeah, and one of my favorite sayings is by the great Rudolf Steiner. If you're looking at a person who is mentally or physically very impaired, you are looking at a master earning their
wings.
Absolutely.
And I think that really changes the way that you do look at people. I mean, I know there's you may look with them with so much pity or sympathy, but they are taking on so much more than most any of us are in this lifetime. And they really
and they're really doing our karma for us, too, because it's not their karma. It's like a community karma. So, and I think that's why we shy away and look away. It's because we recognize, you know, we recognize the karma that they are doing for us. That's why we shy away from really looking at them.
Wow, that's a beautiful point. Okay, so let's kind of go back a couple steps. I mean, there may be a lot of people listening to this show, and this show is really geared toward them as well, that might not know a lot about this realm. They might not really know about a spirit guide. They may have heard about what one is, but they may not have any idea they have any. How would they ever possibly get in contact with them or try to find out, you know, who their spirit guides must be?
Well, there are books that are written. One of the really good books was called, by Roman, I believe it was, Opening to Channel. There are books that you can get. There are classes that you can take. I am a great, great reader. But you also have to balance that out with the classes that you're taking.
Right.
There are classes that are to open you up to your intuition, you know, how to contact your angels, how to contact your spirit guides. And that probably, it's finding the modality of learning that works best for you and utilizing that. Some people do better if they can read it. Some people do better if they can experience it. And use everything that's available to you. And just sit down and get a journal and sit down and give 15 minutes of your time, same time every day, so maybe like at 10 o'clock at night, take 15 minutes of your time and ask a question and stay very, very still. And if you don't get an answer, you haven't failed or anything, just close it up, your book up, and walk away and just keep doing it. And eventually the universe will realize that at 10 o'clock you're going to be tuned in for 15 minutes. And that's basically how I started. And in meditation is another way. It took me a very long time to get to that deep meditative place. But once you get there, it is the easiest thing to go back. And in meditation you can go, but by going inward, you can go outward to any place you want to go.
Right. Well, I even read that even, you know, before you go to bed, set that intention that I would like to meet, you know, one of my spirit guides. And I know a lot of people get a lot of information and people coming through, including loved ones that have crossed in their dreams.
Right. And I have a friend of mine who does a lot of dream work who will say that, you know, you write the question down if you have, like, I would like to meet my guide or what is my guide's name, and you write it down three times. You ask it three times, and then you go to sleep and meditate on that and think about that, and eventually you'll get your answer. And that's the way of utilizing, your automatic direct connection without worrying about the body or the ego getting involved.
Right. Now, do you need to be on a spiritual path, or can anyone that's just kind of wants to find out who they are, you know, who's with them, can ask?
Well, you probably can find out who your guides are, but, you know, if you're not on a spiritual path when you start, you will be on a spiritual path.
Right.
And you
right.
understand that you grow, and the more information that you're given. The universe never gives information unless you're ready for it. There's kind mm-hmm. of like a little a proverb, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. And so, you know, if you're going to sit down and you want to know what is the winning horse going to be at the racetrack, or what are the lottery numbers going to be, you know, you're not going to be talking
right.
to anybody, you know.
Right.
You might hear something, but it's not who you want to be talking to. But if you're really looking for answers to truly spiritual questions that you have, mm-hmm. why am I sick, who am I, where am I going to go, I have this problem, what do I do, you know,
right.
it's always there. And it grows with you. As you grow spiritually as a being, so too does your guide grow, and the fact that they can give you more information, or that you attract more guides to you that have more information to give you.
Right. Well, then how do you know? I mean, because I guess I've always kind of cheated. I've never known when a new guide has come in. In the last few years, I've had two new ones. One when I got married, that's with both Joe and myself, and the second time was with someone that was helping me with, I guess, my relationship with God in the spiritual world. But I was told that by, you know, a medium. How do you have any idea, if you are even connected, that you've got a new guide coming in to help you, and does it really matter?
Well, I think it always matters, because for me, I always want to know who I'm talking to.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So in that respect, if I have somebody new coming in, I always have them, you know, introduced to me by Sinmut, because that way I know that Sinmut will not let
right.
anyone pass
right.
me.
The Sinmut seal of approval.
That's right, Sinmut seal of approval. But a lot of times what happens is that if you really get to know that guide, you know, like your main guide, there is a scent that is there, or there is a different voice that you pick up. If you work with them after a while, you'll have their soul print, you know, so that if somebody shows up and says, "Hi, I'm Sinmut," and I don't
right.
feel Sinmut, it's not Sinmut.
Yeah, it's not him.
No, and so a lot of times that's what happened, and that's one way of trying to identify the people that you are with, so you can recognize them. So if
right.
someone new does show up, then you are conscious of the fact that somebody's there, and then you can ask them either to leave, you know, or to stay, depending upon
right.
who they are and what they want.
Right. Now, whether you believe in spiritual guides or not, and I assume if you're listening to the show, you probably do believe that there are those beautiful beings out there helping us. But even if you don't, and up to this point, let's say you had no idea, what kind of signs do they give you that are really coming from the spiritual realm that we really need to be, you know, to pay attention to?
Oh, well, and it's like if you increase your awareness, you will see that there are signs everywhere. People will step on a feather, you know,
mm-hmm.
people find pennies, you know. We have all of these things where we believe that it is a sign that somebody is there for us, you know.
Right.
And being aware, I'm not very aware of animals, but I've got friends that can, without looking up, going, "There are two red hawk tails circling us, and see over in that tree, there's
mm-hmm.
two magpies," you know? And I
right.
can look around and never see them. And it
right.
just depends upon what it is, how spirit speaks to you. And spirit speaks to you all of the time. And so, and what you can always do, too, going back to saying, tell them you want a sign, and tell them what sign you
right.
want. when you are around, you know, I want to hear three clicks, or I want the faucet to drip, or, you know, I want to find a beautiful feather, or whatever it is. And you will find that they will do that to let you know that they are there.
Right. Well, I think the biggest one is just, you know, what we call, you know, quotation marks, coincidence. When you're thinking about someone and, you know, 30 seconds later the phone rings. I mean, it happens, especially now with the ascension process we're in, it happens over and over and over again. And there's no such thing as a coincidence. We just need to look for the message in that event that occurs.
Right. And a lot of times, too, it's like I said before, with people, it's not that you don't have spirit guides. It's that you need to develop that awareness that they're there. You need to kind of push out your aura to where you can pick up the invisible.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I never heard it talk like, you know, talked about like that.
Yeah, and that you don't limit yourself. That's why we have a third eye. We can see with our regular eyes, but we have the third eye to develop to allow us to see that invisible. So when I see Senmut, that's how I see him.
Right.
But that's what we have to do. We have to, you know, they always talk about live in the moment and stuff like that. And it's that awareness of what's going on around us, because around us all the time we have people telling us how loved we are and how beautiful we are. And the sad fact is that we just can't see them and we can't hear them.
Right. Well, I mean, how many times have you gotten some kind of intuition that you've just known something and you've totally ignored it?
Right.
And, of course, it comes out to be true. And the same thing for those gut feelings and everything else. I mean, aren't those really our guide's way of communicating with us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And understand that you'll feel that in there, because that gut, that intestinal tract, that third eye is what's considered to be our second brain. They always talk about like the digestive tract and that being our second brain. So that's where we'll feel it. That's where that power point is for most of us, is around that navel. So if it's not something that hits you in your head, it will definitely hit you there in your emotions, so that your emotional body will pick it up.
Right. Well,
you know,
I mean, a perfect example of that,
going straight. Yes. Yes.
It was a while back. We were looking, Joe and I were looking into actually investing in this home that was close to, you know, town, which was also commercially zoned. And the minute I walked in, I mean, it sounded like a great idea, right? The minute I walked in there, it was like my stomach sank. I knew this was the worst idea in the world, and don't even bother.
Right.
And that's exactly what it was. I mean, it's my guide saying, are you kidding me? You know, don't do it. And that happens now over and over and over again. Unfortunately, so many people don't listen to that. They kind of go with their mind rather than their gut.
Right,
and
their mind a lot of times can get in the way of that intuition, because if we ask why, you know, well, why, they don't have to tell us why. All they're doing is they're warning us that this is not a good place for you to live. They don't have to sit down and give you an entire scroll of who used to live here and what happened, you know.
Right.
And so sometimes we have to make sure that we just allow that to be a pure channel, and not allow the ego to get in the way.
Right. And I also think it's important to have a pure channel, and also trying to take out some of the clutter in your life. I know some, especially younger kids now, they can't walk around without being on their phone or having music in their ears. And I think sometimes it's really important to drive in the silence, to, you know, to run and listen to the birds and go into nature. And, I mean, that for me, even in the shower in the morning, I don't turn on the radio, because that, to me, is when I get some of my best ideas.
Right.
They eliminate the clutter.
Exactly. And also have to remember sometimes, too, whether it's God or whether it's our angels or our spirit guides, when they talk to us, sometimes it can be a whisper. Nobody's going to yell
at
you.
I think it usually is a whisper, isn't it?
Yes. And so they can whisper it so very, very softly. And we have to be able to be attuned to where we hear it. And if you've got something plugged in your ear that's just, you know, no.
Well, I think it's those whispers. They're going to get the message to you one way or not. If you are burning a candle at both ends and you keep on pushing, and something just keeps on telling you to slow down, and you're not taking care of yourself, you're eating junk, you're just, you're just ignoring all of it, at some point you're going to get a cosmic 2x4 across the head. How that shows up, whether it's a car accident, whether it's cancer, to slow you down and get the rest and recovery that you need, it's going to happen. So it's better,
exactly.
You're better off listening to the whispers than getting whacked across the head.
And another really good reason to listen to that, too, and if you're told to change something that you're doing, you know, like your lifestyle, exercise more, or something like that, is that before, sometimes as much as 3 to 5 years before something actually manifests in your body, it will manifest in your aura.
Oh, wow.
And so if you can pick it up and you can feel it, or you can have somebody, you know, say to you, whoa, you're walking down the wrong path, you've got to give up these cigarettes, or you've got to give up sugar, or you've got to stop doing this, you know, otherwise, you know. So we do have an ability to see it before it really hits and harms us, too. And that's another really great reason for, you know, for being so in tuned to yourself, basically, to your own soul.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think also, too, there's times when it's not just our guides that are working with us. They're probably also, you know, working with other guides, with other people, too. If, you know, you are looking to start a new business and you need, you know, certain people to come into your life to help you, don't guides from both sides make sure that encounter happens?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because, you know, we pray to God. I mean, that's like if you're not good with money, you know, you sit down and you say to God, you know, I need a CPA, you know.
I need
somebody here that can help me, and I need somebody on the other side to help me change what I need to change.
Right.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. And the important thing is not to put parameters around it, how it's going to come in, who it's going to be. It's just say, hey, I need someone to help me with my accounting and see what comes up.
Exactly, and to remember that there is no lack and there's no limitation to what you can ask for or what you can receive.
Right, absolutely. I think the most important thing, though, is to not have attachment to it. I mean, if you're coming from a negative vibration of fear or anger, oh my gosh, if I don't get this job, my whole world is going to collapse.
Right,
you got to come at it from having gratitude and being in that positive vibration. I think that's the difference of whether or not you'll actually get it.
The intro to our radio program says is that fear can be crippling. And if you're in that place, it is like being paralyzed or you can't move.
Right. I mean, you can only manifest from the positive. And that's been a really hard lesson for me to learn over the years.
Yeah.
You've got to get into that space.
I think it's hard for everybody.
Right. I mean, you can't say, when I get that job, I'm going to be happy. You've got to be happy, then you'll get that job.
Exactly.
And that is a huge life lesson right there. Well, we only have a couple more minutes, so I want to talk about our next show, which will be on Wednesday, July 9th at 7 p.m. It's going to be another show where we just have our wonderful listeners come on and talk about their heavenly encounters. So
I love it.
I do, too. I mean, it's just amazing to me. I mean, there's so many people gravitating toward these books of, you know, people that have crossed the other side and have come back, and even just the simple things. And those are always my favorite shows. So I want to thank you, Janice, for your wonderful insight into spirit guides. And I understand that you do have some exciting news coming up as well.
Well, for anybody in St. Louis that is interested, I've got a very good friend of mine, Tanya Masamiri, with the PhD, who makes essences, something like the Bach flower essences.
I love those. They're so powerful.
I know, and she makes them, and they're extraordinarily powerful. And then both her and I are going to teach a class on July the 5th from 10 to 5 on alchemy for personal transformation. It's been one of the things that I have been studying, and it goes back and it explains so much of what I've been through, because, like I said, most of my life I have been in sick and in pain.
Right,
and it just shows how leading that life where I thought was so terribly cut off, I still went through all of the different processes that I was supposed to go through.
Right.
So we would love to have you come up, and there'll be tools of light that we make that you can buy, and ask questions to your heart's content.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. And now I believe it is time for Illuminations.
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 It's time for Illuminations. Food for your mind.
Okay, Janice, what do you have for us today?
Okay, well, this one is by William Faulkner. I believe that man will not merely endure. We will prevail. He is immortal not because he is alone among creatures and has an exhaustible voice, but because he has a soul, a spirit capable of compassion and sacrifice and endurance.
Wow, that is beautiful. Mine is from Hal Zena Bennett. He is the author of Spirit Guides, Companions, and Mentors for Your Inner Journey. We begin to see that we are spiritually linked with people halfway around the world and with those who lived hundreds, even thousands of years ago. We begin to see that we emerge from and are the expressions of a single consciousness that is limited by neither time nor space.
Beautiful.
Amazing, isn't it?
It
well,
is.
Janice, thank you for another fascinating show, and thank you to our wonderful listeners for joining us once again. And remember, please email us and share your Heavenly Encounters at heavenlyencountersradio@gmail.com. Check out our blog at heavenlyencountersblog.com. And lastly, you can follow us on Twitter at heavenlyradio1, and that's the number one. So until our next show, be inspired, be empowered, and be well. You've been listening to Heavenly Encounters, a journey to the other side. Good night.
Good night, everyone.